If you have breath in your body this morning, I want to hear you give our God some praise. The word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let's do it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want you to look at the person to your left and to your right and tell them it's good to see you in God's house this morning.
Glory, hallelujah, to our God.
Every prayer.
sin in the place. Do me a favor, go shake at least three hands for the Trinity and tell them God is in this place. Shake three hands, be invasive. Come on, shake your hands. Come on, we're chasing after God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. It says this, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more. Let's sing it together and teach them.
I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do,
because I need
you more and more.
Say it again. I'm chasing
after you, no matter what I have to do,
because
I need you
more and more.
More and more.
Say it again. I'm chasing
after you, no matter what I have to do,
because
I need you.
I'm praising my way through just to be closer to you. God, I'm chasing after you. Come on, singers, let's say it.
I'm chasing after you.
I'm praising my way through.
I'm praising my way through
just to be after you.
I'm chasing after you.
Bring it up and say, I'm chasing after.
I'm chasing after you.
I'm praising my way through.
I'm praising my way through
just to be closer. chasing after you. It may get hard. It may get arduous. It may get tedious. But I'm going to chase you. But let's be like David. In Psalm 51, God, don't take your spirit away from me. If you believe that, let's sing it. I'm chasing after you. God, we thank you and we bless you and we magnify you. There is no God in the cosmos that we lift. We lift your name and we give you the glory. We don't come here out of Sunday morning responsibilities, but we come here looking to the hill from whence cometh our help. I wish I had some people in the back to plug in. I know who's plugged in and who ain't plugged in. Hallelujah. It's not by your sound. Where is your heart? Jesus. It's not by how many times you clap your hands. But where is your mind right now? Is it at Cracker Barrel? Yeah, I'm coming down your street. I'm okay. God has supplied my need. Somebody said, I'm at Texas Roadhouse, Pastor. Get it right. But right now, we're in the presence of the Lord. Do me a favor. People are watching on TV, and they're saying, this is not real. I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to show them what power looks like. Atta. Show them what power looks like. To the world, this looks like you're surrendering and giving up. But to the believer, we're saying, I can do all things. This is one of my strategic stances. When I lift my hands and worship the King of Glory, I'm more powerful than a whole military. I'm more powerful. I'm going to shut up right there. I'm more powerful than any demon in hell. That's it. Now sound your alarm in this house. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name. We don't take this for granted, God. So we sing to you.
Our Father, all of heaven rush your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Oh, sound of heaven touching earth. Sing.
Our Father, all of heaven roars your name.
Oh.
Sing louder.
Yeah.
Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it?
What does he want to hear?
The sound of heaven touching earth.
Oh, the sound of heaven touching earth.
The sound of heaven touching earth.
Our Father.
Our Father.
The sound
of heaven touching earth.
The sound.
break out. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out. Break out. Heaven, come down. Break out, break out, break our walls down.
Oh God, we say, Spirit, break out,
Spirit, break out.
Spirit, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, go into the lives of each person and begin to burn up things that are not like you. Let revival take place in us first, and then let us see it spread like wildfire.
God, we want to see revival. It's been declared and prophesied, but let us become so hungry to see your power displayed in this county, in this region, and more so through us. Let the revival be so strong, God, that when we leave the house of God and we as the church go to our regular jobs, revival will break out in the workplace. Let revival be so strong, Jesus, that when we're talking about what you are and who you are, people will fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let revival be so strong, we're prophesying, when we're in the supermarket and speaking of who you are, folk will fall out in the produce aisle and get the Holy Ghost in the meat section. Y'all don't believe me. Let revival be so strong that if we're standing before the judge and they have evidence against us from what we did in our past, let the power of God be so strong, we'll be like Paul and we'll have them come under the arrest. I need some tongue talkers in this place today. I need you to open your mouth in the Holy Spirit. And I need you to charge this atmosphere. We just need a few good people who believe that revival is at our fingertips. And those who are not believers will catch on because the fire will spread. Hallelujah. I need some tongue talkers. Don't be afraid today. Come on. Let's go there. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Burn it up. Every adversary, every enemy, burn it up. Every bad habit, every addiction, burn it up. Consuming fire, burn it up. Pataya Rabokoshe. Glory. Consuming fire. Consuming fire. Burn it away. Burn it away. Holy Ghost. Consuming fire. Consuming fire. Burn it away.
wind blow in this room. Fresh wind blow in this room. Holy Ghost fire, let me hear you say. Fresh wind blow in this room. Fresh wind blow in this room. Fresh wind blow in this room.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Fresh wind.
Fresh wind blow in this room.
Listen, fresh wind blow.
Fresh wind blow in this room.
Holy Ghost breathe on
fresh
us.
Fresh wind blow in this room.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
God move by your way.
Fresh wind blow in this room. Fresh wind blow in this room.
Fresh wind, fresh wind.
Fresh wind blow in this room.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
God, our hunger is after you this morning. As we were singing, I burn a wood stove, and I have some wood out back. And every once in a while, I'll try to start it with that wood that's been sitting out there in the rain and uncovered. And man, it takes a lot to get that wood going. And when it does, you start hearing the sizzle. You hear the sizzle of the water coming out. When we're singing about the fire of God, what we're asking God to do is take that nasty stuff out of the wood. Lord, cleanse it so that it can burn without hindrance. Come on, you put on a piece of wood before, you put on a log before that is all dried, maybe 2-3 years. Man, it just starts taking off, and you can sit right up against that, and your hiney gets all warm, and everything is just so nice. There's nothing like good wood heat. When the fire of God gets in your life, he starts hitting those areas that you and I struggle with. What is that sin that you're struggling with that you need God to burn out of your life? Maybe nobody else in the world knows about it but you. What is that one sin? You see, because that's the sizzle. God wants to take it out of you. We're talking about revival. What is revival? Revival is you can't revive something that wasn't once alive. So revival isn't for people that don't know God. Revival is for the people that know God, that are saturated not with Christ, but saturated with the world. God wants to pull that out of you this morning. So I'm asking you to just do one thing. What's that one sin in your life? We're going to sing this one more time. And I want you to raise your hands. What do we mean by raising our hands? If you're a guest in the house, if I had a gun stuck into your chest and said, stick them up, give me all your money, you'd surrender. It's all it is, an outward expression of the surrender in our heart. The Bible says, lift up your hands without wrath or malice, no doubt. When we sing that song, what is that sin? I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to ask God by his Holy Spirit to start burning it out of you today. Amen? Amen. What's that one? Do you have it? Do you have that one sin? When you got that one sin, get your hand to heaven. Well, yeah, I didn't figure it'd take us long. We all know that one sin, don't we? Are you ready? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to burn it out of our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you liberty this morning. Change us. Change us. Change us. We want to be more like Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Consuming fire.
Consuming fire. Consuming fire.
Come on, come on, come on. power right now.
Burn it away.
Surrender. We surrender that thing. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, not to let it rise back up without us putting it back down under our feet. Lord, we know that we have power over every sin in our lives. That we're no longer slaves to sin, but we've been free and free indeed. So, Holy Spirit, as we freely surrendered it, we know that the power of it is now gone in the name of Jesus. God, we give you glory and honor. Come on, give God praise this morning. Shout, I'm free. Come on, shout, I'm free. You can shout louder than that. Shout, I'm free. One more time, I'm free. Tell the devil now, I'm free. Go find five people and say, I'm free. Go find five people right now. Let them know I'm free in Jesus' name. Don't sit down. Go find five people and say, good morning. Thank God I'm free.
Fire. Consume.
I just don't even want to stop that today at all. If we could just get a realization of the power of God when heaven meets earth, how awesome He is. I know today people have been delivered, restored, and set free already just by the presence and the power of God. We have some upcoming events going on. Make sure you get a bulletin and read your bulletin. There are so many things going on. We have coming up already on June 5th, which is just a few weeks away, our HT Family Picnic. We do this every year. It is an awesome time. It's up at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. You bring a large Distipass. Now, with our family here, we all cook good, and we bring big dishes, so there is always plenty of food. So make sure when you bring your dish, bring a large dish to share. Bring your drinks too. We provide all the paper products and bring some games to play. You know, one of the things Pastor just asked me to share is something that's been on my heart a lot is in order to have friends, we must show ourselves friendly. That's what the Word of God says. In talking to different people in the past few weeks, a couple of them had been at our church for 10 years, and literally had not made one friend. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with the church? The church isn't broken. There's nothing wrong with the family and the kingdom of God. That's not broken. What's broken is us as a society. In order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. We had another group. I was at women's Bible study on Thursday night. Yes, we have a women's Bible study. And I had them, yes, we have a men's Bible study too, but I can't go to that one, honey. So I was in there and I asked, if you were here 5 to 7 years, to raise your hands. And then I had them look across the room. Do you know all these people raising their hands? And what a shame. And that they didn't even know people that they go to church with every single Sunday and that they go to Bible study with after 7 years. We need to put ourselves out there and be friendly. I grew up in a generation where if somebody new came to church, we would invite them to dinner. We would invite them to lunch that same day. We would invite them out for coffee. So I want to encourage you, be friendly. Reach out to somebody. You know, everybody's looking for the same thing. They're looking for love and acceptance. So why don't you go out of your way in the next 30 days. I put this challenge to the women yesterday. In the next 30 days to meet and connect with 3 people you don't know. Oh, I know. Nobody is even following me, Pastor. They're all looking at me like, you are crazy.
No, honestly, this is where a lot of people have said, well, you know, I don't like a larger church. It's not as homey. The only way for it not to be homey is for us not to be friendly.
Amen.
And, you know, there are a bunch of people in this room that like to do what you do. In fact, I don't know how many of you realize we have a motorcycle blessing at the end of May.
Yes.
May 28th.
May 28th.
There's a bunch of bikers. You know what they do is, I saw Brother Kimbo there this morning. They all meet at Dunkin' Donuts Sunday morning before service and then come over here together. We also have a sportsman's club that we're revitalizing. There'll be a shooting section. There'll be a hunting section. You know what? We used to have a knitting group, people that love to knit together. There was 4 women in there knitting one night. I walked in. I said, what are you doing? They said, crocheting. Would you like to learn how? I said, no, my grandmother already tortured me that way.
But we make it easy for you with providing so many things. If you just take your bulletin and show up to some of the stuff. We have a parenting class May 17th on Tuesday night that I'm doing. We are doing a budgeting class. We have adult education classes. And we're doing something. We have a free overnight missions trip at His Thousand Hills. We are going to go as a church family and help support them and work on the buildings and the edifices and the grounds and help them get launched and started for the season. So if you're interested in that, make sure you see Pastor Banfield, who's on the front row. Stand up, Pastor Banfield. And let's be a blessing. It is an easy way to get to meet people and connect with people that you don't know. You know, I get to hear so many amazing testimonies of what God is doing. just by connecting with people. And I don't do it because I'm the pastor's wife. And I certainly don't do it because it comes naturally for me. It doesn't. It is challenging and it's difficult for me to greet somebody that I don't know. But I get so much joy in meeting people and finding out their story. You're going to find out God is moving all over the place. You know, when we sit in our own little shell, we think, oh, life is so bad and God's not doing anything awesome. God is doing incredible things. Get out and meet some people. You'll find out what God is doing. So in order to have friends, show yourself friendly.
And I would really encourage you to join Rock Solid Faith. You know, it is a life-transforming class. How many people have either graduated Rock Solid Faith or are in Rock Solid Faith? Look at the hands up all over the place. I would challenge you to do this. This is a class where you can learn, you can grow. You don't have to be ignorant. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not bliss. You can know what you believe, and that's important. You need to know what you believe. If you don't know what you believe, then you struggle. And so we actually, if you can't make it here on Tuesday night, it is live streamed. We also have folks at work nights. And so Pastor Dan teaches on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. And then also we have Thursday night at 6 p.m. with Minister Palko, who's a phenomenal teacher. We just got a new shipment of books in. So for those who've been wanting the books, they just came in this week. They're out in one of the booths out there. Here you go, Nick. Out one of the booths out there. So I encourage you, make sure you grab that. You know, we're also doing a bottle drive for the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. So make sure you grab your baby bottle and fill it with coins, and we'll give you the dates and how to bring it back. Amen? I said amen? Well, that's a lot of talking. Can I welcome all the ladies in the room? Can I hear a shout for all the ladies? Can I have all the ladies stand to their feet? Look at all the ladies in the house. Can we pray for them real quick? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just release a blessing over all the women that are in this room. God, some are mothers, some are grandmothers, some are great-grandmothers, some are not mothers yet. Some, oh God, are aunts. And Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that a blessing will come on every single woman that's in this room. Every single woman on the online campus in Jesus' name. And Lord, we rejoice over them. We bless them. We speak life to them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Man, aren't you glad there's some ladies in our lives? I figure some of you aren't shouting. Those are the ones who need marital counseling, and we'll provide that later. Amen. We want to welcome all the guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, if you could raise your hand up. We're not going to make you stand or anything. But if you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you. Young lady right there. Is there anybody else? First-time guest over here. Very good. Is there a first-time guest? Just raise your hand up. We have a gift for you. No, Matthew, you're not a first-time guest. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Mac Middle, very good. Hallelujah. Anyone else this morning? Can we give our guests a hand clap? We want to welcome all those that are watching on our online campus. My dad and my stepmother have been watching from Florida every single week. We want to give them all a shout. People from all over the world are watching right now. You're just sitting here in Horseheads, New York, in the middle of a cornfield. But people from all over the world are watching you right now. They're watching God change lives. So we want to just say thank you so much for watching with us today.
Amen. We're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings. And I'm going to be very brief because in this time we're going to be blessing the women. But in Malachi 3, it says, bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. So I trust that you are ready, have your tithe prepared because it is holy. It is set apart. It comes right off the top of our finances. Come in each week. It's not like we don't know what 10% of our income is. You can come in with that already prepared. And then when you're here, you can prepare your offerings. We like to prepare our tithes and offerings in advance before we even get into the building. So if you're ready today, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings, but I have some instructions for you while we do this. Pastor and I and some of the ladies will be down here passing out a mug to every single woman. Every woman should have gotten a ticket with both portions of your ticket. You are going to rip off one portion of your ticket and put it in this clear bin in the front as you come and get your gift, and then you are going to keep the other portion, because we're going to draw a number, and you need to know what your number is matching. If you do not have a ticket, it is okay. I have some ladies that will be standing here that will give you a ticket if you did not get one. You, oh, yes. The tickets are for a spa giveaway. So one person, we will draw a number out at the end, and we have a spa giveaway for you. So you must be 18 or over for the mug and the spa giveaway. So please make sure you're 18 years or older. If the ladies that are going to help assist me could come forward, we're going to stand. Women, yes, every woman over 18 years old. We celebrate every woman in the house because whether you're a mother or not yet, you are imparting to people around you. And the world is a better place because of the women in it. Oh, come on, women. The world's a better place because you're in it. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says, if I obey, I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Okay, now I need to have some order happening. So I want everybody to come to this wall and come this way, and then exit down this way. You can come down these two aisles, that's fine, but exit this way so that we don't have a crash up. It will make it smooth and easy. We have one table, Pastor Spencer. All right, let's give, and as you come and give, we have a blessing for all of our ladies.
Thank you.
Weren't they amazing? Come on, give them a standing ovation. If you were up here, you'd be scared to death. You know, I remember the very first time some people have come up to give testimonies, the adults, and they go just like this. Scared to death. So it's exciting. Isn't it great seeing the kids out here doing ministry? You know, that's ministry. They're learning how to do ministry. Turn to someone and say, ministry is why I live. That's right. You got a call on your life. God's got a purpose for you to do the work of the ministry. We're getting ready to draw. Ladies, get your tickets out. We're going to read a number on there. It's a number. Here it is. The number's upside down. Okay, here we go.
Can you do it?
No. Hold on. I got it. 822.
Everybody.
87. How bad do you really want to know those last two numbers? 89. 8789. Oh, young lady, all right. We were expecting Azure to win again. Azure wins all the time.
Amanda, you beat Azure.
Congratulations, young lady. Enjoy yourself. Take your husband. He needs a pedicure. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm going to preach short today.
Really short.
Really short.
Really, really short.
Really, really, really.
Really short. We have, I'm interrupting you.
Oh.
As you can tell.
I can tell.
Yes. Can I have all of the LT staff, the leaders of the His Tabernacle Family Church, join me on stage, please? Real quick. We only have about 30 minutes. I have 30 minutes. We can, like, join right, like, kind of back here. Yeah. I forgot the tape. I didn't put you in a certain spot. All right, so real quick, we want to take the moment during this portion of service to give honor where honor is due. Uh-oh. We got a straggler. Pastor Banfield, did you leave her behind? Wow. We are up here as the staff, as the leadership of this house, His Tabernacle, and we would not be here if it wasn't for our pastors, but we want to honor the First Lady of the house this morning. Can I have a round of applause for the Pastor Rhonda Spencer, the First Lady of His Tabernacle Family Church? She says she's so excited that you're up clapping for her. She's really, really, you know, excited for that. We want to present to you something. If you want to back up real quick so you can look at the monitor. We want to present to you something. We are sending you away on a two-day fishing getaway. Because we know how much you love fishing. So this is at the Tailwater Lodge located in the Adirondacks. It's going to be May 18th and 19th. Okay, so you got one overnight stay in the lodge. And then 2 days you're going to be participating within the, Tug Hill Fishing Club. So we have pictures for you. We got the fish on there because, you know, that's part of the package. Ooh, fly fishing. That's going to be you. Look at that. So we wanted to say thank you so much for what you do for this house. Thank you so much for being a blessing to our lives and to everybody here. So thank you so much, Pastor Rhonda. We love you.
What's funny is that I can't catch a fish if I wanted to. Oh, you all laugh. It's not funny. I mean, it's a real serious situation in our family. I take her fishing just out of mercy. because I hate fishing with her. She'll be catching fish out of this hole, and I'll put on the same bait, put it in the same spot that she just got done with, and I'll catch nothing. She'll throw it back in the same spot, catch another fish. I hate fishing with her. But we know this is what she'd love, and I just want to thank the staff for blessing the pastor. If you'd like to bless Pastor Rhonda on Mother's Day, I believe they'll have a basket in the back. That's just something that's just whatever free will, what you'd like to do to just be a blessing to her. Today we're going to finish the message on seed and soil. Turn to someone and say, I'm dirt. Now, for those who haven't been here, you might take that as a slam. It's actually a compliment. Turn to someone and say, thank God I'm dirt. You were created by God, and this is a powerful thing to recognize that you are not an accident, but the Lord has a plan for your life. Turn to someone and say, God has a phenomenal plan for your life. And this is the truth. We've talked about different types of ground, and I've got to move quickly since it's already 8 after 10. And I'm going to preach the quickest message I've ever preached in my entire ministry. That's not true. My first message was 7 minutes. 7 minutes. I was so scared. I wasn't sure if I peed myself. So, you know, it was scary. I was 18 years old. I was really scared. But I want to talk about the four soils. We already talked about the hard soil. This is Matthew chapter 13, where the devil comes and he steals the word from you. We talked about the ground, that is stony ground, where they get saved, they give their heart to the Lord, they accept the word, but there is no root. So when trial and tribulation and persecution come, they get pulled up. There is no root in their life. Then the next one we talked about is the thorny soil, and that is that they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God changes their life, but yet the cares of this world and the deception of finances or money overtakes them. All of these were ones that were not all that exciting. Let's be honest. These three were not exciting. But Jesus said this is a mystery of the kingdom. Now, this is important to recognize that Jesus was sharing a mystery. What do you mean a mystery? A revelation that had not yet been revealed to people. You see, revelation means that there's an opening and understanding that is now being opened for individuals that could not understand before. And in this revelation, God is saying, this is how my kingdom runs. I got to say that one more time. This is how my kingdom runs. It doesn't run how you want it to run. God's kingdom does not run how you want it to run. God's kingdom does not run according to religion. God's kingdom does not run how you want it to run. God's kingdom does not run according to religion or philosophy or how a preacher wants it done. God's kingdom is simple. God puts it in his word and we follow it. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's passion is to reveal to us how his kingdom works. We've already gone through all last year that there is a kingdom, how God's kingdom works. Now this year we've been talking about seed, one of the number one principles of learning how to live within the kingdom. So few people understand the power of the seed. Everything you need is in the... I said, everything you need is in the, everything you need is in the, but it's not just in the seed, it's also in the dirt. Every seed of God is supernatural. Every seed of God has life that cannot fail. You know, in this earth's realm, there are seeds that die. There are seeds that mold. There are seeds that do not have capacity. There's something wrong. There's a genetic distortion. But the reality is, in God's kingdom, every seed that he has is absolutely perfect. And God's plan for every seed is not partway producing, but a full production so that there's nothing lacking and nothing missing. You see, God's seeds are perfect in every manner. So the genetic, there are no distortions. It is perfection. So the challenge is finding out why it's not working in our lives. Let me say that one more time. If God's seed is perfect and it's not working in our lives, then why? connection can't get any better. So the issue is not God. The issue is where the dirt is. Because unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. So when we are seeing a distortion of the seed or a lack of productivity of the seed that God has placed in his word for our lives, then we have got to go back and start looking at ourselves and saying, God, where is the distortion in the dirt? Where is the trouble in the dirt? Is it stony? Is it hard? Is it thistle? God, where is the dirt in my life that's not allowing the ground or the seed of heaven to manifest perfection in my heart? You see, this is where you and I get challenged because we don't mind getting saved. Can I hear an amen? How many here want to go to hell? How many here want to go to heaven? So we like the seed of heaven. Can I hear an amen? We like that seed, but there are so many other portions of seed. Can you imagine if God created only one seed and that was corn? Can you imagine eating corn all the time? Where'd my corn go? Well, go get it for me, young man. Can you imagine if God only created one seed? Your lawns would be corn. Your supper would be corn. Your lunch would be corn. Your breakfast would be everything you have in your life would be. How long would it take you to get sick and tired of corn? Oh, my goodness. But you see, God didn't create one type of seed. He created a multiplicity of seed, all different types of seed. Why? Because our lives are so unique and so distinct, but yet they have a fabric of universality. And that is that when we recognize the universal principles of God's kingdom and we allow those seeds to perpetuate in our lives, then we don't have to sit back and suffer, but we can continue to grow no matter what type of environment we're in. Why? As long as the soil is healthy, the seed that is of perfection, the word of God, will always produce 100%. I can't hear you say amen. So here we have, this is important because without understanding the seed, we are going to have a problem. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, it says this, but he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. You see, today you are blessed. All across this world, Christianity or the ability to hear the word of God is not always available. Y'all know that, right? There are many countries that do not allow Bibles. I had a friend of mine who smuggled Bibles into Iran. He said it was very simple. If they got caught, they disappeared. No one ever knew where they went. They were just gone. If you smuggle Bibles into North Korea, you are beheaded. There are many countries in the world today that do not allow the Bible to be even read. But you see, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is alive. The word of God is our life. The word of God is our guide. The word of God is supernatural. The Bible declares in Psalms 107 that God sent his word to heal us. Even today, while you're hearing the preaching of God's word, God can physically heal your body. The Bible, he sent his word, the word. Who's the word? Jesus is the word. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He sent his word to heal us. The word heal is rapha, which means everything that you need in your mental capacity, everything you need in your physical body. While the word is being preached, there's a supernatural impartation of the seed of heaven. And he who hears it and understands it, that's the key. Understanding the word, allowing your spirit to be available to not just hear the word, but be a doer of the word. Turn to someone and say, don't be just a hearer. You've got to be a doer. When we understand this, then we've got to start looking at our ground. I've got to be quick, so please understand today is a little abnormal. I'll be looking at my notes to tether myself. The first thing you've got to do when you're going to deal with good ground is you've got to make sure that the ground is soft. Man, there's nothing, I want a cow. One day I'll have a cow. And I want free-range chickens. It's not going to work in Big Flats, but we're going to work this out somewhere. No, it cannot be in heaven. I just love the smell of cow poop. I really do. I love going by a field when that, you know, when they just spread it. Oh, Jesus. Am I the only one? Do you like the smell of a skunk? I love the smell of skunk. It's just, it's like a cleansing of the palate, you know what I mean? What a buzz. Did you hear the buzz going on in this place? One of the first things you've got to do to the ground of your heart is you've got to make it soft. The fact is that there is something called hard-heartedness. There are people that have been wounded. There are people that have been abused. There are people that have had bad attitudes, that their hearts have become hardened to God. And the fact is that no matter where you've come from, the seed has to always be planted on soft ground. Why? We see it all the time. You go by a field, especially right now in the season. They're turning the fields. Why are they turning the fields? Because they're taking what was on top, what they already cut. They're rolling it in so that it can regenerate itself. And then they're going to go by and they're going to do another field portion that is going to make it soft and it's going to make it supple so that when it's time to plant the seed, it won't have to be shoved down into the ground. Come on now. They've taken the rocks out. I have a hunting place up in Odessa, and man, I drool every time I go into the woods because they have piles of field stones. Piles of them. Why? Because they don't want the rocks in the field. You see, we look at the Word of God, and we've got to understand that Jesus, when he said this parable, he said it with complete understanding, knowing that it was even going to work today in 2016. You won't go by a farmer's field that he's trying to grow a crop in and see this. Every one of them, they're turning the dirt right now. They're fertilizing the dirt right now. They're making the dirt supple. But yet, many times in our walk with God, we allow our hearts to remain hard to the Lord when he asks us to bring change to our lives. I had three amens. I was almost happy. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says this, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hardened ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, and this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. See, this is not a new concept. This is what God has been teaching and training, that we've got to make sure our hearts are supple before him. And many of us want God just to a certain extent. You see, we want God as long as he does it our way. We don't want God to get and meddle in our lives with the sins that we want to keep. The stones of our lives that we don't want to give to God. And as long as those stones are in there, it's going to hinder some of the plants. It's going to hinder the perfect seed. It's going to hinder what God has planned for you. What always amazes me is this, is that so many people grasp for what the world has to offer, and when it's time to surrender to Jesus, they say, well, I don't want to give up everything. I want you to know that God will never ask you to give up anything that he won't replace with what God has greatness for you. God does not have goodness. God has greatness. God wants great things for your life. He wants to fulfill your life. He wants you to have peace and love and joy. He wants you to have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It's not survival becoming a believer. It is living, true living. You see, after you get the land all soft, then you've got to start dealing with water. Was it a few years ago there was such a drought in the Midwest that the crops weren't even able to grow? You've got to have water. You see, this is where so many struggle because, listen now, we're around the altar today and people, you know, Pastor Obi and the rest of the team are laying hands on folks and people are going out in the spirit. And some of you are going, Pastor Johnson said, we need some tongue talkers here. People get a little wild or a little excited during worship.
Ooh.
People are afraid of the Holy Spirit. I can't comprehend it. The world is running to mysticism. They're running to the psychics. They're running to the Reiki masters. They're running to those who do supernatural things outside of the kingdom of God. Yet the church, when God starts showing himself in the supernatural, whoa, I'm a little reserved. I don't know about you, but baby, I don't like to swim in ankle deep. I don't want to take a tub where it's only 1 inch deep. I want to be submerged. I want to be overwhelmed. I want to be overcome. I want God's Spirit to be so full inside of me that as it declares, rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of your belly. I want you to know that the seed of heaven will never grow with earth's water. The seed of heaven can only grow with the water of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have more of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have more of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be overwhelmed and overcome. We've got to have him so much that we actually squish when we walk. I want so much of the Holy Spirit that people that come within a 10-foot circumference will say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but something's going on. I want people to be healed by the power in the name of Jesus just by coming in the presence of the Lord. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit has. We cannot regret. We cannot step back. Listen, now, right now, there's a big movement in the church world. They're ashamed of the Holy Spirit. They don't want the Holy Spirit shown in their services. People aren't allowed to raise their hand in worship. People aren't allowed to pray in other tongues. People are not getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. People are not being prayed for miracles and healings. Oh God, if it be your will. We've taken the Holy Spirit out of the kingdom of God. We've not allowed him to be who he is called to be. And I just want you to know who he is. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are three, yet one. You see, he is not just some power that seems to float around. He is God himself. He is God who's working with us right now on this planet. And if we've ever needed the Holy Ghost before, we've needed him right now. He is the water. You got to get the ground ready. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Spirit working in your life, conviction will be minimal. Has anybody here ever had, you know, every once in a while we have it in our house, I'm peeking at the time, where I'll be standing in the shower and the water isn't going down, it's rising. Not good. I blame her hair. Since mine, there isn't overwhelming abundance. So here we have the water rising. So what do I got to do? That means there's a plug somewhere. There's a hindrance to the flow somewhere. It's not allowed to be free. Water who has the capacity to go through very small portions is now stopped. Without the Holy Spirit working in your life, then your walk with God will stop. So I have to take a plunger. And try to plunger whatever is in there. I don't want to know what's in there. I don't want to see it. One time it just wouldn't come out, so I had to go get a snake. And I pulled it out. And it scared me because I thought it was moving. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But this is what's in our lives. You see, without the Holy Spirit, then the seed cannot get the water. And if those ugly, nasty things that cannot be seen because they're deep in the pipes are not pulled out and the water is not allowed to flow freely, then what will happen is you will not be able to water the ground. We need the Holy Ghost more than we've ever needed him before. Turn to someone and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody else, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you got to weed the garden. Can I hear an amen? I hated that part when I was a child. My father used to make me go out and weed the garden. Yes, I know you're watching, and it's true. I didn't like you for that. Go weed the garden. I don't want to weed the garden. I hated that part. But you see, you have to weed the garden, because if you don't weed the garden, then it can be overtaken. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, so that you walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, personal integrity, to fully please God in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing in the knowledge of God, with deeper faith, clearer insight, and a fervor love for his precepts, his principles, his word. You see, we've got to allow the ground not only to become soft, not only to be watered by the Holy Ghost, but we've got to get the weeds out. Remember I said that one sin in your life? Some of you have had that one sin for years. Years and years and years and years and years. You've never dealt with that sin. The Holy Spirit has put his finger on it in your life. It's a weed in your life. And if you continue to let it go, it will destroy or halter or hinder or minimize the perfect seed of God. We don't like to talk about sin in the church these days. There's a philosophy going around that all your sins, past, present, and future, are already forgiven. You don't even need to ask forgiveness. That is a crock. That is a bunch of baloney. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's not cheap grace. Can I hear an amen? It's when there is sin in our lives, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. That's the weed. You've got to allow the weed to be extracted. What will happen when it is not extracted is you will become hard-hearted in that area of your life. That means that seed will die. Listen, we can all act pious, religious, super spiritual. We all got some mess in our life. Turn to someone and say, I know you got mess. We all got stuff in our life that we don't want people to know about that God is working on. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Oh my would have been better. We all got things from our past, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's a sin of sexuality, whether it's a sin. No matter what it is, there's something in our lives that we are not surrendering to the Lord. That is the weed. And what I have great news for you is that will never stop in your life. God is always weeding your garden. No matter how many years you've been saved, the sins, the weeds might not grow as big, but they still hinder as much. Are you out there this morning? God is calling us to be people of abundance. Turn to somebody and say, God loves abundance. Turn to somebody else and say, God's not cheap. We've got God in this little box. People make fun of me. They say, well, you're just a rich preacher. You don't know anything about my life. Be quiet. What I do know about this is, what's wrong with having abundance? Y'all got a job? Why do you have a job? You want stuff. How many want to live in a house? How many want to live in a cardboard box? Thank you. I didn't think so. Tried to act real spiritual. Well, I was with a preacher just a few weeks ago, and he looked down, and he was getting ready to receive the offering at the church, and he says, and I don't have a Rolex watch, and I'm not driving a $100,000 car. And I said to myself, well, if anybody was wearing a Rolex or was driving a $100,000 car, they're not giving in the offering. And he needed them to give in the offering. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Can I hear an amen or am I? But abundance is not about money. Abundance is about your life, about peace and about joy, about enjoying yourself. And we're all so diverse. God has made us so unique. That's what I love about the seed that we are. But right now, we're dirt in this story. Here we go. When you take your seed and you put it in the dirt, it's important to know how to do it properly. Now, there's many different ways. They actually have, I'm trying to make them 3 inches apart, because I want the stalk to grow all the way up and grow big. 3 inches enough? Yeah, 3 inches is enough? I just talked to a farmer. Don't talk to me now. You notice I didn't look your way, I looked the farmer's way. I don't look your way, I look God's way. Ooh, I felt spiritual there. When you take the seed and you put it in the ground, you're planting with understanding. I'm planting corn, so I'm expecting. I'm planting peas, so I expect. But God needs to know and wants you to know that he loves the fact that you break up the fallow ground, that you allow the Holy Spirit to water the seed of heaven, and that you allow the weeding of the Holy Ghost to be there. Now it's time to get the fullness of the seed. Now, I don't know about you. I hunt in this place. It's over 100 acres. And there's a spot where it's really hard-packed ground. And no matter what the farmer's done every single year, when around that corner of the field, the corn plants never get higher than this. But yet, where it's in the middle, and it is well taken care of, man, those are 8-footers. I would hate to get lost in the middle of that, in the middle of that cornfield. Anybody been lost in a cornfield before? It's kind of scary. Just had to say that. Smith Wigglesworth said this: it is as we feed on the Word of God and meditate on the message it contains that the Spirit of God can vitalize that which we receive and bring forth through us the Word of knowledge that will be as a full power and life as He is. And the Spirit of God moved upon holy men of old and gave them these inspired scriptures. You see, the Word of God is very simple. That is, that the word in this portion says that some will yield 30, some will yield 60, and some will yield 100. Now, it's good ground. Turn to someone and say, this is good ground. It's good ground, but there's still lower production than others. How many of you want the lowest production of seed? How many of you want the highest production of seed? Well, then you've got to do it God's way. You know, there are people that just settle for the lower. I've met a lot of folks that settle for the lower. They don't want to put enough energy into their walk with the Lord. They want to give their heart to Jesus, but they don't want to pray, and they don't want to read the Word every day. They don't want to be consistent to the house of God. They just simply want to go to heaven. And you know, as valid, as nice as that is, if you were saved to go to heaven, then when you got saved, you die. You're not here just to suck air. You're here because God wants to be a fruit producer through you. God has a purpose for your life. He has people that need your life in them. They need you to plant the seed of the word in their hearts. See, every one of us gets to this place. You see this portion up here? Can you see that real good? There's no water here. So that portion right there, I just put that seed in the corner of the field, and there's no water there. There's no Holy Spirit there. So what's going to happen to that seed? Well, it'll probably take off. But it's never going to be to the greatest capacity that God has purposed it for. That seed is genetically planned by heaven to produce. But yet it cannot produce if it's not in the proper form when it is planted. And here we are as believers. We come to the house of God and thank the Lord you're here. Turn to someone and say, I'm so proud that you're in the house of God. But now it's time to understand the word so this mystery of the kingdom can be revealed in your life. We need to have 100-fold abundance in our life. I love what the word says. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Can I hear an amen? He wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. How is that possible? It's possible only when the seed is allowed to produce the way it was genetically planned. And that means our job is to make sure that the ground is correct. Here's the key. You ready? The key between 30, 60, and 100-fold return is the amount that you're in the Word and obeying it. I know you thought I was getting ready to disperse a deep theological revelation from heaven. It is so simple. You see, no one has to talk the seed into growing. if the seed is being watered and being taken care of, if the seed is having the nutrients that are necessary, then I don't need to sit here and coach the seed. The more you're in the Word of God, everyone loves Smith Wigglesworth. He raised, I think it was 8 or 9 people from the dead. 3 of them were embalmed. He had a third grade education. He was a plumber by nature. His wife taught him to read by reading the Bible with him. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, the power of God just surged through his life. Listen, I'm not talking philosophy or just a thought process. These are proven realities of this man's ministry. So many miracles and signs and wonders. But the key that he had was that he never went 10 minutes without opening the Bible and reading a verse. Everybody wants his production, but no one wants to take care of the seed. Some of you struggle with your walk with the Lord, man. I'll tell you why. It's very simple. You're never in the Word. You're rarely in church. And you rarely pray unless hell is licking your toes. And you can't understand why you struggle with this thing. I just don't think it's working for me. The seed always works because it's created to work. God always works. The Word always works. Signs and wonders, miracles. God always works. Salvation, everything. God has in His Word always works. But the great mystery is this. What's the ground? And God can't determine the ground. That's our choice. What does your ground look like today? You see, I don't know about you. I don't want 30%. I don't want 60%. I want 100%. But the question comes down to, what do I have to do to see that high-level production? Now, a farmer will spend the money. A farmer will make sure that their crops are watered. You know, you've seen it. You've driven by. You've seen those big the big water things in the fields. And they start pushing out the water out into their fields even when it gets dry. Why? They want to make sure that it's going to get the nutrients. They want to make sure that it's going to get the water. They know the ground is good. They wouldn't have planted it unless it was. But then they had to take care of it. I'm here to tell you. God has greatness for you. Stop settling for just making it by. Stop settling for just having a small little piece of corn. Stop settling with grass patches. My neighbor's lawn is beautiful. Mine is not. My neighbor's lawn is the perfect green all the way through. Every week, you know, those people come and they mow that guy's lawn. And then they have that truck, True Green, I think it's called. He comes through. He offered it to us. But, you know, he came through. I just didn't find the value in it. And he says, you know, we'd like to just spray your yard. And, you know, if we can get you in contract, then what will happen is your lawn will look absolutely beautiful. It'll be perfectly green. There'll be no weeds. But I was unwilling to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Or is God your convenience store? Do you really want to see high production? Or are you okay with the weeds? Where is your life with God right now? Because I want you to know this. God has created a supernatural seed, genetically planned to produce the highest crop that you could ever imagine. But it needs your ground to grow. Are you struggling with your walk with Jesus? Do you not even believe in God? Where are you? My wife and I have determined something, and that is every time we plant a seed, we expect that it's going to grow. How many of you have your faith walls? You expect it to grow. You have a faith wall because you are looking, praying, and seeding to what's on your faith wall. You're expecting things to happen. How many of you, I'm going to be a little transparent here. We got 3 more minutes. How many of you, God has convicted you of a sin before and you've chosen not to stop it? Well, you're all better than me. I'll raise my hand. How many of you know until you get rid of that sin, the seed cannot get past 30? Don't settle for what you got. God's got better. Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for the 30. Don't settle for the 60. Keep pressing on, saying, Holy Ghost, what is it in my life? Holy Ghost, weed me. Holy Ghost, fill me. Lord, let the word get in me. Lord, give me understanding and revelation that I may walk in the kingdom principles, that no matter what is railed against me, I cannot fail. For if God is for me, who can be against me? You see, today, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the kingdom. And the kingdom is how God runs heaven. And today, God wants to bring heaven to earth so you and I can touch it and you and I can live in it. For we are not of this world. We are but sojourners here. Amen? We are not controlled by this world. For I walk by faith and not by sight. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it's time to allow God to produce in us things that we've never allowed it to be done before. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. Today our lives are everything. God has great things planned for you. Some of you say, my life is really good already. And I just want you to know, it hasn't even begun yet. Even your greatest dreams, God says, I have better for you. Well, I can't see that happening. Exactly. Because you have just declared that, life and death are in the power of the word. You've just canceled the seed of heaven. What kind of ground are you? Are you just a temporary Christian? Are you just a believer that has a bunch of stones in their lives and don't want God to touch any of them? Are you filled with thistles and thorns, overrun by the cares of this world? Who are you? It's the same seed, but it dies in three, but it will live in one. Today, as the seed is being planted in your heart, what is it landing on in your life? Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a religion or a church. I want you to know Him. I want you to realize that God has greatness for you. And even if you've got the best life that you could ever have, God says, abundantly above all you could even think or imagine, I have for you. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want Him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not gonna beg you. Is there anyone here this morning that wants Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life? You want the seed of heaven to land on good ground and for you to produce amazing amounts of fruit for the kingdom of God. Is there anyone this morning? 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, young lady. 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, sir. I'm proud of you, man. Proud of you. This morning, if you raise your hand for salvation, grab the person next to you and meet me right up front, right here. Why don't you be brave? Come on, grab them right by the hand and say, you're coming with me. Very good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Don't let heaven outshout you. The Bible says heaven goes into a party when one comes back to Christ.